This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Greetings, oh godless ones. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio, your antidote to the religious right domination of our public airwaves. 1 hour a week of irreverence, rethinking, and promotion of the separation between church and state.
And I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist, Dan Barker. And the show, Free Thought Radio, is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the country's largest organization of freethinkers, which are atheists and agnostics, who educate the public about those of us who don't believe in any type of a god. And we also work to keep religion and government separate.
And that's what today's show is mostly going to be devoted to. This is the first show of September 2009, and we're going to talk about this much dishonored constitutional principle of the separation between church and state and why it should be honored.
We'll have the foundation's staff attorney, Rebecca Kratz, in the studio later in the show, and she'll talk about a number of her letters of complaint to many public officials over violations of the separation between government and religion.
And Rebecca's going to be talking about a couple of victories, too. And we're going to be exploring the topic of crosses on public property.
And what's wrong with crosses, Christian crosses on public property? Rebecca's going to talk about that. She wrote her very first amicus, or do you say amicus?
Amicus brief.
Amicus or amicus, which is a friend of the court brief before the Supreme Court on behalf of the Freedom From Religion Foundation last month, also with our litigation attorney, Richard Bolton, and with the very important help of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's summer legal intern, Stephanie Schmidt.
And it's a great piece of writing. It's about this thorny issue of religionists grabbing public land to plant large crosses, and they do this sometimes for years and years, even a century. And then when someone complains or sues, the government goes and gives the group a little bite of this public property so the cross can stay in the same spot.
Or the Ten Commandments or some other religious symbol.
And there's a case before the U.S. Supreme Court on that very issue, and we'll hear attorney Rebecca Kratz's thoughts on why this is very wrong on the second half of Free Thought Radio.
And in a few minutes, Annie, Laurie, and I are going to give you a pop quiz. So get your pencil sharpened. A pop quiz on what do you know about the separation of state and church. And you can find out just how well-informed or maybe misinformed you may be over the First Amendment's wall of separation between church and state.
And just a little bit of news report in the meantime. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has placed its first billboard saying, "Imagine No Religion" in Missouri. We've been in about, 20 states and 30 cities. This is our first in the show me state of Missouri, or if you're from Missouri, you know you say Missouri.
And it's just outside of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. So you can check out the colorful billboard in Manchester, Missouri, west of St. Louis County at the intersection of Weedman Road and Manchester Road.
We also want to invite everybody to imagine a world free from religion. Imagine a world. That's what the billboard is there. Imagine a world free of religious wars, free of sectarian strife, free of superstition, free of divisiveness.
And if you're in the San Francisco area, look soon for our bus signs there. There's going to be 75 king-size bus signs on the exterior saying, "Imagine No Religion," and also quoting Mark Twain, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." And 200 of our very interesting interior cards are going to go up on the inside of the buses featuring quotations by famous freethinkers, including Richard Dawkins, Emily Dickinson, Clarence Darrow, actress Butterfly McQueen, and Mark Twain, Katharine Hepburn.
So maybe some of the people who see those bus signs in San Francisco will say, "I lost my soul in San Francisco." This is the first really big market where the foundation has taken its national bus sign campaign. And we want to make a splash. We want to educate, and we want to show that many good Americans reject religion.
And, you know, you hear that phrase a lot. Someone who is a good Christian, or it's in the obituary, they were a good Christian. We should start adopting that, too. I'm a good atheist, or I'm a good agnostic.
Or I'm a good free thinker. Finally, we do want to comment on a member of the clergy who isn't so good. Maybe he's a good Christian, but maybe he's not such a good person. His name is Pastor Steve Anderson. He lives in Tempe, Arizona, and he's the pastor of Faith Word Baptist Church there in Tempe. And he gave a sermon recently called Why I Hate Barack Obama. And that sermon also contained some virulent anti-gay themes. He said, I would like Barack Obama to melt like a snail tonight, is what he said in his sermon. And this is the same sermon that inspired a man named Chris Broughton to show up about 10 days ago, the day after the Pastor Anderson gave the sermon, about 10 days ago at the Obama event on healthcare in Arizona. Pastor Anderson then posted a blog.
Well, Chris showed up with what, Dan? You forgot to say.
Yeah, well, on with the blog gun. It shows. Yeah, he showed up with a handgun and an assault rifle. And Pastor Anderson posted a blog with his photograph. And the headline was, Brother Chris attends Obama rally with a gun because he can.
Well, so let's listen to part of this sermon, which is very vicious.
I'm supposed to pray for the socialist devil, murderer, infanticide, who wants to see young children, and he wants to see babies killed through abortion and partial birth and all these different things. No, I'm not going to pray for his good. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell. Stephen L. Anderson is going to pray for Barack Obama to die and go to hell.
Well, you know, there is no hell, but this is an really intolerable rant, and I think that the president and other public officials and abortion doctors who are slandered like this should be suing these people for libel. It is libel to call somebody a baby killer, and it's, you know, this level of vitriol, very dangerous in our country.
When I was a Christian minister, I thought Christianity was love, but look at how many of these fanatics on the fringe are taking the Bible literally and actually thinking that killing in God's name is a good thing to do. Coming up, we're going to talk with our staff attorney, Rebecca Kratz, about a lot of meaty state church complaints that she has made on behalf of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, including two recent very quick victories, and why it, this is a joke, and why it double-crosses the Constitution for the federal government to give away public land to save a cross.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. Next, after the break, a short clip. How much do you really know about the separation between church and state? And let's go out with this clip of Dan's Battle of Church and State.
We got to fight the battle of church and state. Church and state. Church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state. Over the wall come a tumbling down. I've heard about your hero Joshua, but his accomplishments are not so great, because there's none like Thomas Jefferson and the wall between church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state. Church and state. Church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state. Over the wall will come a tumbling down.
Hi, my name is Dan Hamilton from Westmont, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
State is just a bad metaphor. But if unbelievers can't be protected from the rest, then what is the Bill of Rights for? We got to fight the battle of church and state. Church and state.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Coming up, attorney Rebecca Kratz to talk about some legal victories for the Freedom From Religion Foundation and also the amicus brief she wrote for the Supreme Court about the illegality of crosses on public lands, which is a common problem in this country.
And now it's time to play What Do You Know About the Separation of Church and State?
We have an online quiz at our website, What Do You Know About the Separation of State and Church? And we're going to get out your pencil. We're going to test your knowledge. There's 21 questions. There's 16 multiple choice and 5 true and false.
Let's see how many we can get through.
Okay, here's the first one. Question 1. The U.S. Constitution says that the United States was founded as a Christian nation based on the sovereign authority of God where? A. In the First Amendment, B. In Section 6, C. In the preamble, or D. Nowhere?
That's an easy one. D. Nowhere.
D. Nowhere.
No God in the Constitution, and if you're a regular listener to our show, you know that.
Well, question number 2. How many times does the word God, how many times, well, you'd be surprised how many high schoolers get this wrong.
Oh, how many, everybody get it wrong.
How many times does the word,
Bill O'Reilly, everybody.
How many times does the word God appear in the U.S. Constitution?
And it's typical for college, high school students when we've done this in class to guess 6. It's really amazing.
Is it 0, 1, 3, or 6?
It is 0, nada,
zero times.
None.
Okay. Question 3. How many times does the Declaration of Independence refer to Christianity or Jesus? 0, 1, 3, or 8 times.
And that's another one that is very common misconception, because there's a creator, a nature's God, by the deist Thomas Jefferson referred to in the Declaration of Independence. People think it's Christian. It isn't 0. There's no Jesus, no Christianity, no Bible in the Declaration of Independence.
Question number 4. The U.S. Constitution guarantees religious liberty for A. Christians, B. All religions, C. Atheists and agnostics, D. All of the above.
Well, we hear number A the most.
Question 5. Where did the separation of church and state originate? A. In France, B. Soviet Union, C. The United States of America, or D. Nazi Germany?
And of course, the answer is C. United States of America. But boy, the crank mail, they all think it's the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany.
Question number 6. What does the First Amendment say about religion? A. Nothing. B. The United States is founded upon Christian principles. C. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Or D. That there is no national religion, but each state may set up its own religious practices.
And here again, the answer is nothing, but so many people have misconceptions and think it's D, that there's no national religion, or that there's a deistic religion, not a particular denomination. But that's not true.
The answer is C. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
thereof. Question 7. The phrase wall of separation between church and state originated with A. The Soviet Constitution. B. A dissenting opinion by former Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter. C. A letter written by President Thomas Jefferson. Or D. A speech by President Ulysses S. Grant.
And the answer is C. It's a letter written by Thomas Jefferson, and he coined this phrase in a very carefully crafted letter as president to the Baptists of Danbury, Connecticut. He checked it with his attorney general. It's 1802, and it's been picked up widely and invoked in major Supreme Court decisions to explain what the Establishment Clause means. And then I would say that Ulysses S. Grant was put in there because he was also very, very secular. And in a speech in 1875, he said, "Leave the matter of religion to the family altar, the church, and the private school, supported entirely by private contributions. Keep the church and state forever separate.
Right. Question number 8. Which early colonies practiced freedom of religion? A. The Pilgrims and Puritans in Massachusetts. B. The Colony in Virginia. C. Roger Williams' Providence Settlement. Or D. All of them.
And the answer there, and this is another surprise to a lot of people, is C. Roger Williams' Providence Settlement. And in fact, the founders of our country were very aware of the divisiveness in the original colonies, and that's one of the reasons they adopted a secular constitution. And Roger Williams Providence was founded expressly to guarantee religious freedom. The Pilgrims originally were tolerant when they founded Plymouth in 1620, but I guess we have a question coming up on that.
Question number 9. The Puritans escaped religious persecution and, in their own colony, allowed religious freedom for A. Everyone, B. All Christians, C. Puritans only, or D. Puritans and Anglicans?
And this answer is a funny one. Puritans. Only Puritans had religious liberty, and even there, they were held to strict litmus tests. And I always think it's interesting that they outlawed Christmas. They knew it had pagan origins.
And there's that old joke. The Puritans loved religious freedom so much that they kept it all to themselves. Question number 10. Here's a quote. The government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. Where does that phrase appear? A. The U.S. Communist Party platform. B. A speech by Abraham Lincoln. C. The American Jewish Congress. Or D, a United States treaty signed by President Adams?
And the answer is D. It was a treaty, the Treaty of Tripoli of 1797, that said that the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.
And it was actually written under Washington's presidency, but
signed by Adams.
Signed by Adams and voted on by our Senate.
We had the support of two presidents on that.
Question 11. By an act of Congress, U.S. currency has carried the motto, In God We Trust, since A, the very beginning, B, 1862, C, 1914, or D, 1957.
And that's 1957. And maybe we better just skip to the answers at this point, Dan. Want to go on?
All right. 12. The Pledge of Allegiance, first published in 1892, has included the words under God since 1892, 1914, 1942, or D, 1954.
And same with In God We Trust, Johnny Come Lately.
Question 13. Who made the following statement? Secular schools can never be tolerated because such a school has no religious instruction, and a general moral instruction without a religious foundation is built on error. Consequently, all character training in religion must be derived from faith. We need believing
now,
people.
Let's just cut to the answer here because we're running out of time. That's Adolf Hitler. That ain't... it sounds like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, but it was Hitler. And let's come to some quick questions here. How about...
Can we come back after the break and finish this?
No, we can't. We have to finish it up. So how about one last? Were all American presidents, Dan, practicing Christians? True or false?
False. That's question number 17.
And we're going to be back in a minute. This is the longer break. We're going to be talking on the separation of church and state and some of our recent victories at the Freedom From Religion Foundation with our own Rebecca Kratz. And specifically, we're going to be talking about why crosses, religious Latin crosses, should not be on government property. If you want to take this quiz, where do you go, Dan?
You can go to our website, ffrf.org, and then go down to the bottom and say, take a quiz on state church separation or another quiz, what do you know about the Bible?
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Free Thought Radio is back. Joining us in the studio today is the Freedom From Religion Foundation staff attorney, Rebecca S. Kratz.
Rebecca Kratz has been on Free Thought Radio before and joined the foundation staff last fall. In October, she'll be a veteran of state church skirmishes for a year. And with such a young woman, she's had a very interesting career already. She attended the University of Wisconsin-Madison, received a BA in political science, international relations in German, and then spent a year as a legislative fellow at the German parliament in Bonn. And in 1999, she began working as a legislative correspondent and assistant to the chief of staff for U.S. Senator Russ Feingold in Washington, D.C. She returned to Madison, Wisconsin, 2002 to work on Senator Feingold's 2004 re-election campaign? And after the campaign, she attended Roger Williams University School of Law and received her Juris Doctor in 2008, is a member of the State Bar of Wisconsin, Dane County Bar Association, and so on. So welcome back to Free Thought Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So besides all this state church work you've been doing, you've also been very busy planning another big event next month.
That's right.
You and Mike are getting married next month?
We're getting married next month, yep.
So how do you find time to do all of this? It must be a lot of details.
I'm a lawyer by day and wedding planner by night.
Now, sounds like a novel.
Well, congratulations. First,
Thank you. You've
had a couple of recent victories since Free Thought Radio was on last week. Can you tell us about the successful complaint you had before the Petoskey Board of Education. Where is Petoskey?
It's in Michigan. And what happened there was a board member, a public school board member, decided that he didn't like the wording in the school calendar. He wanted to change it from winter holiday break to Christmas break. And so he sort of bullied the other board members into voting for this change. And it was a unanimous vote in a closed session in mid-August. I think it was on August 18th. But before he initiated that vote, there was an email that he sent to all district staff demanding that they change the wording in the school calendar.
Oh, and we were going to have you read that, Dan. Read a little bit of that ridiculous email.
This email from Jack Waldvogel, is that his name?
Yes, and he's the treasurer of the public school board there.
He sent this email Monday, August the 10th to central staff, high school staff, Lincoln staff. Here's what he said. Now, if God can be inserted into Thanksgiving, either directly or indirectly, why must we refer to Christmas break as the winter holiday break? God is okay for Thanksgiving, but not for the birth of his son? I think political correctness is just so much crap, and we have gone way overboard. We are, in spite of what the Obamasiah proclaims, still a Christian nation, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Two choices here for our school district. Either agree to change the December vacation back to Christmas break in all future publications, including the school calendar, voluntarily, or I will make a motion to change it at the next board meeting and raise such a stink and bring out every redneck Christian conservative north of Clare to compel the district to do so. Our children need to know that we are a Christian nation, and taking all reference to a higher being out of our educational vocabulary is wrong. Don't assume this is a joke. I'm being as serious as I possibly can here. Jack Waldvogel.
Okay, so this is quite an inflammatory email, and the local newspaper covered it too. And then you went into action.
Right, we got an email from one of our members who said that this was happening. And so we went and we looked into the email and the subsequent press coverage and found a lot of other damning language that was used by the public school officials. So we sent a letter to the school district saying that their motivation here was not secular, it was religious. And in changing the wording from winter holiday break to Christmas break, they were advancing a religion, which they're prohibited from doing so under the Constitution. And we asked them that they change it back.
And when did we get the news again that they did change it back?
Just this week, on Monday, they issued a statement saying that they are going to change it back.
And this was this the superintendent or was this the attorney?
This was the school board that had issued the statement.
And the reasoning behind that was they were defending that. They said, well, we could call it a Christmas break. There's no court decision against that. But that we got them. I mean, they showed that their intent, their purpose was religious.
Right. His entire email showed that the whole purpose of the change in wording was based on religion and wasn't based on any secular reasoning.
And, of course, we have always said that enlightened school districts are very careful not to call the winter break Christmas break because that excludes all the kids who aren't Christian.
Right.
It's just not polite.
So are we saying that a secular school can only have a secular intent?
Yes.
How radical.
What a concept.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And then I'd like to introduce this topic of prayer to start meetings, government meetings. And our organization has turned into a mini cottage industry over government prayer this summer. Everybody's been transcribing prayers and students and stuff. How many of these complaints are there right now, Rebecca?
Well, I counted before I came here. There's actually 17 that we've sent out.
And mostly since this summer.
Right.
17 different cities then around
right,
the country.
Right, around the country.
And let's talk first about the victory you just had. And that I think that took less than a week. Where was that?
That was in Toledo, Ohio, where they do have people coming in and giving invocations prior to the city council meeting, and they frequently invoke Jesus Christ in those meetings.
And you documented this in the letter.
That's
we sent
right.
them the transcripts of the invocations.
That's right.
And we had a very surprisingly quick turnaround on that.
Right. Just today, we heard from a media story that the legal director for the city said that all invocations have to be non-sectarian. So that means they cannot invoke Jesus Christ.
And that's a good victory because the Supreme Court has criteria and they say you cannot have a you can't have a sectarian prayer to start a government meeting. But of course, the membership of the Freedom From Religion Foundation would prefer no prayer at all.
That's right.
I mean, it makes people who are not religious, it even makes religious people often uncomfortable, and it's just divisive, and it's not necessary.
Because non-sectarian is still theistic, right? And there are many of us who are not theistic in this country.
But that's what we're working with the Supreme Court parameters, and so that was a really lovely victory, because tell us about, well, you have just issued another letter of complaint in California. And tell us about some of the other complaints that are ongoing.
Right. Well, I can list off the complaints that we have so far. We have four in California, one in Lodi, and I think that you spoke with David Diskin recently about that one. Another one in neighboring Tracy, California, and then also Turlock. And we just sent one this week to Tehachapi, California, which is in Southern California.
Tehachapi, I think it's
called. Tehachapi?
Yeah.
Dan is from Southern California.
Yeah, I'm
you
not
need
good
a local.
With these names.
No, I looked at that, and how do you pronounce it?
But then we also have one in Castle Rock, Colorado, and Mesa County, Colorado. One in Texas, North Richland Hills.
That's close to Dallas, Fort Worth.
That's right. We also sent a letter to the Philadelphia City Council and Chesapeake City Council in Virginia. We also sent one out to Anderson County, South Carolina, and in that case, we didn't receive a response from the city, but in follow-up, we found out that they are back to non-sectarian prayers, so we believe
and,
that
yes,
our...
So congratulations, and that's the Fourth Circuit where there have been two decisions by the Fourth Circuit Appeals Court saying no sectarian prayer.
Right.
So I think they realize they better succumb.
Right.
Or they're going to get a letter from Rebecca.
They already got a letter.
Probably going around the country right now.
And then we're also doing one in Independence, Missouri, Lincoln Park, Michigan. And then in our home state, Wisconsin, we have three complaints going, one in Dodge County, La Crosse, and the Wisconsin State Assembly.
Now, let's just talk briefly about Chesapeake, Virginia, because there's been some press coverage on that. They were accusing the foundation of going after a local congressman because, do you remember that? Oh, well, now I've forgotten his name. He's that very conservative member of Congress, and they're saying, we must be targeting Chesapeake, Virginia, because it's his district.
Oh. Oh, politicians, it's always
about them,
right?
So, yeah. But so we have, you have follow-up going on, and we are educating a lot of people, we hope. And so did we talk about we talked about the victory in Toledo.
Well, when we come back after the break, let's talk about the Uniontown, Ohio thing, about the school district there.
And then we are going to talk about what's wrong with crosses on public property. So I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We're talking with Rebecca Kratz, and we'll be right back.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so. The things you're liable to read in the Bible ain't necessarily so. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. This is our final segment. We're talking with our very own staff attorney, Rebecca Kratz. So we were talking about another recent complaint, Rebecca, which was in regard to a public school district in Uniontown, Ohio, which listed belief in God as, a key value of the school district?
Right. Lake Local School District in Uniontown, Ohio, issued its mission statement, which it's had for years, that includes, as part of the language, we value belief in God. And they sent that out to everybody in the school district as part of their newsletter and then also just a mailer that was advertising the school district.
And so you wrote them and said that was a no-no, right?
Right.
How did we hear about that?
That was also a member.
Member of our group who contacted.
And another member of the community.
Right. Right.
So, because they all got the same flyer. So we'll keep pursuing that. Now, we really brought you on the show to talk about the amicus brief that you wrote for the foundation this summer. It was a great brief. And tell us what the case is about.
Well, this is a case about the cross that is up in the Mojave Desert in California. It was put up in 1934 as a war memorial by the VFW to honor the dead of all wars.
And without permission.
Right, without permission. And then since then, there have been several different crosses. But in 1998, the current version of the cross was put up. It's just two metal pipes that are painted white.
It's on a hilltop or something?
Yep, it's on a prominent rock in the National Preserve, Sunrise Rock.
And actually, there's no documentation that there was ever any veteran activity there. It was used as a sunrise Easter cross, right?
Right. Since 1935, there have been Easter worship services there intermittently. And then in the 80s is when there were regular services there.
So who sued over this?
The ACLU actually sued.
Wasn't it a Catholic plaintiff?
Yes.
And was a former worker?
Yes, he was formerly employed by the Desert Preserve.
And offended by this violation of the separation of church and state.
Right.
And so what happened when he sued?
Well, when he sued, Congress acted quickly, and they passed four pieces of legislation with regards to the cross. The first was that no federal money could be used to take down the cross, and then after more litigation ensued, they passed a law saying that the cross was a national memorial and also that they couldn't have any funds to take down the cross again because the district court in the Ninth Circuit said that the cross had to be removed. And then the final action was this land transfer, or land exchange, where Congress said is trying to exchange the land
Under the cross
with other land that is owned by private hands within the preserve.
And this was somebody who's a sympathizer with the VFW?
Right, they're actually the people who put up the cross in 1998.
So, I mean, and now this makes my blood boil, but first, before we talk about the land transfer, what's the law on crosses on federal property or private government property?
Well, there hasn't been any court case that has allowed a permanent display of a cross on public land.
And so what's wrong with this land swap?
What's wrong with it is it doesn't really cure the constitutional violation. It's a sham solution to a longstanding constitutional violation. This cross has been up there for 70 years without permission and has been government.
So the government is rewarding this conduct and preferring religion and endorsing the action, right?
Right.
But this is going to be a sticky case because we have not very sympathetic court, but we wrote an amicus brief, and part of it was we brought in our Atheists in Foxholes monument, our award to veterans of wars who are atheists and agnostics, and we hope we made a unique contribution.
And the government is trying to say then, since they've transferred this land, that that's no longer federal property, and so anybody driving by is going to say, oh, that's a private expression or a private view. But does it look like it when you're driving out there?
No, because it's roughly 1 acre of private land within 1 million acres of federal land.
And when, I can't remember what year it was, in the late 90s when they created the natural, or in the 90s when they created the natural preserve, which was
Mojave Preserve?
Yeah, they combined land, and they said this was to be for the use of people enjoying nature for an eternity. And now in this invaluable land, they referred to it as, and suddenly it's not valuable anymore. You can just swap it.
Right.
So what else would you say about what's legally wrong with this transfer?
Well, the other part of our brief, besides that it's a sham remedy to just parcel off land like that, is that if the court comes down and says that it's okay to do these land swaps and these land sales, then that's setting a dangerous precedent. That means that any sort of religious symbol can remain on public property. All the government has to do is parcel off that portion of the land. And in the brief, we actually mentioned our federal district court judge, Barbara Crabb, who in one of our earlier decisions in the lacrosse case.
In Marshfield?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was
right.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse Ten Commandments case. Sorry.
She said, you know, if this is the rule, all anybody has to do is sell off portions of the land and they can preserve religious symbols.
They could even allow by public property.
Right. They could even allow Judge Roy Moore to sell a portion of his courtroom to put up the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, it is absurd.
And in our amicus brief, we raised the hypothetical. What if our group was to go out there and illegally graffitiize that federal park by putting up a big big billboard or something, and then ask the Congress to swap some of that land with some of our land so that we could be rewarded for, you know, doing that.
Vandalizing.
Of course, there's no way. They would see the problem if our group was to do that.
Right. Congress wouldn't act to do that.
And then we did want to make it very clear that it's also doing a dishonor to veterans who are not Christian to claim a federal monument for, it was World War I veterans, that excludes everybody except Christians.
Right. Congress did say that this is a national war memorial, and it is offensive to non-Christians and non-believers. And, you know, nobody can go and look at the cross and see anything but the symbol of Christianity.
Well, we want to thank you. It was a wonderful brief. You guys wrote it in about a week. It was a record or something. It's great. And you can read that brief at the Freedom From Religion Foundation website, ffrf.org. Just go to the news link, and you can find the news releases about all of the cases Rebecca's been working on, our other victories, and check out other First Amendment violations.
Thank you, Rebecca. We also want to thank Dan Ginsberg, our producer and engineer for today. Free Thought Radio is recorded here in Madison, Wisconsin. Our announcer is Buzz Kemper. Go to our website to hear this show archived or podcast at ffrf.org/radio.
Call 1-800-335-4021 or ask for more information at ffrf.org. You can request a sample of the September issue of the Free Thought Today newspaper. There's more about the Mojave amicus brief, all kinds of good information about our state church violations. And we urge you to tune in next week for more blasphemous broadcasting and rational radio.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.